Good morning. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service here at Genesis Church. We'd like for us to start off with a little bit of with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be able to gather here in this format, Father, where there are two or more in your name. Lord Jesus is there. Father, we need you in this world more than ever. But Father, we're not going to let the news headlines dampen what has occurred on this day where you made your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Father, where you went towards a certain death for people that deserved it. And you sacrificed so much for us. Father, we lift up everyone listening to this sermon. Father, everyone they have in their minds. Father, everyone that's going to be listening to it. Father, we lift up this church. We lift up all churches. We lift up every town, every person in this world, Father. They are struggling. We are all fighting battles. Father, the one thing that we know in this world is that you are stronger than any struggle. And Father, as we come to you in prayer, let your words be heard, not mine. Let your message be told, not what I want to say, your message. And Father, let these people put it in their hearts, Father, like a candle in a lamp to take out into this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we may have some new people, so I just want to tell you a little bit about us. My name is Mark Vaughn. I'm pastor of Genesis Church. Man the cameras, my wife Lisa behind the scenes. We're a small church located in Honeyup Pass, South Carolina. It's about 5,000 people or so. We've been here about 10 years, and we are just we're a small church, but we have a big heart, and we're just so glad that y'all are able to join us. And this is going to be something that we're going to continue, even when we start meeting in person. And for all our regulars at home, Lisa and I, we love y'all. We miss y'all so much. And can't wait till we get to meet again. And for all our new folks, when we're all here together, you'll see why I get so excited about this church. And y'all, I'm going to go through some announcements here. Ms. Lisa mailed out some goodie packages to our regular kids last week. And this picture was actually from... this is a picture of Ms. Lisa as she's packing them up. And those of you that might not know, Lisa and I are both nurses. So we sprayed down and wiped down everything before we sent it out. And one of our mothers posted a picture of, that's the second picture over here, when their child received the package. And we love y'all. We miss y'all. And we just, Ms. Lisa and Darlene, and Ms. Darlene just want to remind you kids, wash your hands and use the hand sanitizer just like you do in children's church. They have them lined up washing hands before they get their snacks. And we just want y'all to know just that we really, really miss y'all. We enjoy y'all and we'll be so glad when you get back here. And also a little bird told me to be watching for in your mailboxes this week. There may be something else out there. Now, I wanted to give a land update. A couple of years ago, December 2018, we closed on 7.5 acres, about 4.5 miles from here, right off Highway 76. And this is going to be the future home of Genesis Church. Right now, we're currently renting a building. But this church family has a vision of a place where those kids in that children's church will be able to have a vacation Bible school, have a playground, eventually will grow up, be baptized, be married, baby showers, wedding showers, all here. This is what the land looks like now. And this diagram is actually from one of our members, and it shows what we're going to be one day. And I think that I know we're going to be there. And it's just all in God's timing. And my timing, we've already been over there and had a year anniversary, but it's all in God's timing. And I know we're going to get there. Now, another project that we have ongoing. This has been about 5 years ago. It started 5 years ago. Alan Harkey, one of our former pastors, started this with Suzanne Culbert McCorder. She's our treasurer and a board member and a retired police officer, Operation Bear Hug. The church members supply bears and stuffed animals to the police officers here in the Honeypath area, and they keep them in their squad cars and their trunks in case they have to respond to an emergency with a child. That little bit of normalcy, we don't know how far it's went, but there's been hundreds of bears passed out through these years, and we're continuing it, and we're very proud of our relationship with the Honeypath Police Department, and we just want you to please pray for all your first responders, wherever you're at. Law enforcement, paramedics, firefighters, dispatchers, and us being healthcare workers, we can't leave, of course, all of them, but even more, the store clerks, so many folks. But we're really proud of our project with them, and just hope it continues for many years to come. Our prayer list. This actually was a good segue into our prayer list. We want our church to be called a house of prayer. Jesus in the book of Matthew said, "My Father's house should be called a house of prayer." Prayer works. We believe in prayer here. We have a list of people that we're texted, we're called to add this person or take this person off the list. If there's someone right now that you would like added to the prayer list, and it may not be for a physical reason, it may be for a financial reason or an addiction or so many other things, please text a comment in the post and we'll be sure to add them. If you have any praise reports for anyone that might be on the list, please let us know. We are just, we need prayer now. We need it now more than ever. And I know we all know people who are really in a tough spot right now. So please lift them up. Like I said in my prayer, all of us are fighting battles. And this has been a challenging time for all of us. And Genesis, we're a small church, and we have our financial obligations. Even though we aren't meeting in person right now, we still have rent, we still have our bills, and other churches do as well. And we have a couple of different options here. We actually, if you would like to mail your tithes and offerings in, we have our mailing address. And more than that, we also want you to be supporting your church. If it's Genesis or if it's another church, support your church through calls, cards, texts. The church is made up of people. It's not made up of brick and mortar. We also want you to support your pastor. Not just me, but every pastor out here is being thrown into something they've never been in before. Most of us are bivocational pastors. I am. I have another job. And probably in most denominations, 80% of the pastors have some other job. So they're having stress from two different fronts. And we're struggling with how to get out and help people and reach people. So please lift them up and lift your church up. We have listed our email address here. And we have just installed a PayPal account. On our website, there's a donate button to our where you can give electronically. And it's on our website, mygenesischurch.net. And we want to give a special thanks to Mac and Suzanne, two of our board members. Mac runs our website, and we really appreciate them. And again, you can also mail your tithes and offerings in to Genesis Church, P.O. Box 130, Honeypath, South Carolina, zip code 29654. And then also, for folks that may not have Facebook, if you know someone that would like to view the sermon and they don't have Facebook, Genesis Church has just started a YouTube channel. So we have the two previous weeks of sermons on the channel is Genesis Church, Honeyah Pass, South Carolina. That's the name of the name of the channel. And this sermon will actually be going on there this this afternoon sometime. Now, today's message is about Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is when Jesus made his arrival into Jerusalem right before the Passover. It's one of the events that's recorded in all four Gospels. The four Gospel writers, imagine four people going to see a movie and then having to write a review of the movie. The review is going to be different. In all four cases, it's going to look a little different, even though it was about the same movie. And the Gospels are like that. So when the Gospel writers all record the same thing, it's very important. To give you an example, the birth of Jesus is only mentioned in two Gospels, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, isn't mentioned in all four Gospels. I'm not bringing this up to say there's conflict, but just remember you have four very different people from different classes, different backgrounds writing the Gospels. What makes this part of Jesus' life so important that all four writers of the Gospels felt the need to include in their accounts of Jesus? Jesus was coming near the end of his three-year ministry. He knew what this meant for him. He knew as he entered Jerusalem, the cross was waiting on him. Jesus and his disciples had come there to celebrate the Passover. The Passover was when God delivered Israel from the Egyptians. It had been celebrated every year since the Israelites left Egypt. And it's Jerusalem's population was normally 100,000, and it ballooned up to over 3 million people during this time. Jesus knew that the Pharisees and the religious class were going to kill him. He could have avoided Jerusalem, left Palestine, and been safe. He knew he couldn't. He walked in there for a horrible death. For us, for the people that were there, the people that would have no chance of salvation without him. Our story begins in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they approached Jerusalem, they had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Jesus told two of his disciples to go find a donkey and a colt. You'll find these two over in the village right beside here. And if anyone asks you, say the Lord has need for them. They went, they found the donkey and the colt. They brought them to Jesus, and he got on the colt. And this fulfilled the prophet Zechariah, who had written this 500 years before the birth of Jesus. It was during the time when the Israelites were exiled in Babylon. They were very lonely. They were very downtrodden. Between the time Zechariah wrote this and Jesus came into Jerusalem, the Jews had four different leaders. Each one was worse than the last. Ever felt like a situation was just getting steadily worse in your life? Only changes were from bad to worse. Never going to get better, people or circumstances. God didn't forget his promises to these people. I think today we need to remember he hadn't forgotten his promises to us. And like these people, we weren't usually expecting it when God delivers on his promises to us. And the disciples, they did just as Jesus told them. They put their coats on top of the animals so Jesus could get on like a saddle. And the crowds were going ahead of him, and they were shouting Hosanna. And this was a fulfillment from the book of Psalms. Again, written hundreds of years, probably close to 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. And people were wondering, what's causing all this? Jesus of Galilee. And Galilee was considered a backwater in Palestine. So this was someone from a virtually unknown part of Palestine who was a carpenter's son, She had never been noticed. The reason why they used palm trees, palm leaves, Jerusalem didn't have a lot of trees. The palm trees were the only thing they had. And that's where we get Palm Sunday from. I was always amazed by the way Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He's a king, but yet he rode in on the tiniest, smallest, humblest of animals. God uses the ordinary, like a small colt, a donkey, a person. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He's still doing that. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now. You're feeling a little tugging, a little urging. Maybe he's wanting to use an ordinary person to do something extraordinary. Just like he did with this little cult. Just like he's done with so many ordinary people. 12 nobodies that no one knew. They did more than all the trained priests in Jerusalem. You can't name probably more than one or two of those priests, but most people can name all 12 of those disciples. Another part of this that stands out to me is that this same crowd cheering for Jesus will be calling for his death and the release of Barabbas, a criminal, in just a few days. When I was younger, I couldn't understand why the crowd would cheer for Jesus one day and demand his death a few days later. It just didn't make sense for me. I didn't know if it was a different crowd or what was going on, because I read the Bible stories growing up and they just seemed to love him one day and wanted him dead a few days later. I think that one simple reason is their words didn't match their heart. They had convenient faith, but not committed faith. They had convenient faith, but not committed faith. They had religion, but they didn't have Jesus. Do you know someone like that? They can quote scripture. They have nice suits or dresses. They're there every time the church door opens. Do they know Jesus? Do they live by Jesus' words? How many of those people cheered on Sunday because it was a popular thing to do at that time? How many people have been sitting in church every Sunday for years because it was a socially accepted thing to do in your part of the country? But how many of them never listened? They didn't want to have fellowship. They wanted to have a social time. But they did want to have fellowship, true fellowship with believers, and grow stronger in their relationship with Jesus. That's what a church is about, whether it's in person, whether it's online, wherever it's at, Bible study, whatever. The whole goal is to get closer to Jesus and grow stronger and help support fellow believers. Many of us, and I'm guilty of this, we fit God in when it's convenient for us and when we need something. Spare tire theory. I've been guilty of having that. I still have to be on the guard for it. These people praised Jesus as he passed by, but me, I praised him for two reasons. Jesus was the most renowned healer of that time. There was several hundred years between the end of the whole Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. It's called the intertestamental period. During that time, God stayed silent as a lot of things occurred. So healing hadn't really took place in the public nature for a long time. And when Jesus came along, part of the hat Jesus wore was healer. And he healed so many people. Healed the sick, raised the dead, and they praised him because he was serving them. He was doing something for them. That sound familiar? That kind of stepped on my toes when I wrote that, because I have been there before. Second, they saw in Jesus a way to be politically free from Rome, which the Romans had a terrible occupation. They were vicious. Their cheers increased with the thought that Jesus might be the Messiah, but they misunderstood what the Messiah was. A lot of Jews at the time thought the Messiah was a military leader, come to break the chains of Rome. Jesus wasn't there. He came to break the chains of hell and damnation for us. And people didn't understand that. And then when they saw him later on that week, at that trial, and Jesus was beaten and bloody and broken and disfigured, this man looked like no one who was going to be a conqueror or no one that could even heal himself, much less heal someone else. Couldn't do anything for him. As the words were said about him, they brought in lies about this man who lived a sinless life. And everything they cheered for Sunday was gone. Now they call for his death. For them, it was all about me, me, me. We need a committed faith. Committed faith is not self-centered. It's Christ-centered. Committed faith is not self-centered. It's Christ-centered. Another reason that their attitudes changed so much is that real dedicated faith, committed faith, comes from having a relationship with Jesus. A relationship is a two-way street. When you're in a relationship with someone, you can't pick and choose which parts of the relationship you like. You're not going to be in a relationship very long. I'm very fortunate that my other half does not pick and choose what she likes about me in a relationship. She takes the good and the bad, and I'm glad she does. I'm very thankful. Those people who were waving palm leaves on Sunday and throwing rocks on Thursday didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They didn't want one. They wanted the nice parts of Jesus, but they didn't want to follow his rules. They didn't want to listen to the most important thing. Love God, love other people, prove it. And I borrowed that from Pastor Brian Walker. That was one of his favorite sayings, but that sums up what Jesus had in his commandments. Those people didn't want to hear that, and they're not by themselves. There are a lot of people out here today that they want what God can give them. They want what Jesus can give them. They don't want to be in a relationship. They want to take, and a relationship is give and take. Along with the good comes the bad, and being a partner means embracing all of someone. Jesus is a graceful God. He is a beautiful, beautiful Messiah. But Jesus says, take my yoke. My yoke is light, but a yoke means there are directions. He wants us to follow his lead, and that's being in a relationship. There's give and there's take, and we talk to him. You have to have that. Third reason people turned on Jesus so fast as the dedicated faith is not changed by what we're going through. Our trials and struggles do not change the relationship that we're in. You think about it with our spouses, our significant others, our children. When we go through struggles, do we throw them away? At the parade, it was trendy to offer praise. Let me grab a palm leaf and throw it down. Hosanna, everybody was doing it. At the trial, to speak out for Jesus, to speak up in his behalf, no one did that. No one did that because it was life-threatening. Many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to go good. How many times have people, and this happened for me, after I took Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior, stuff just went from bad to worse for a while. That happens. Being a Christian is not easy. Maybe a little something bad, but we really don't want a lot of stuff bad happening to us. So when the bottom drops out for us, a lot of people are asking God, why? I've done this. Why? What did I do? Why are you doing this to me? God didn't introduce sin and misery in this world. We did. the misery that comes along in sickness and misfortune, most of the time we didn't have anything to do with it. It just comes along with all the misfortune and sin that's out in this world. God don't wish it on us. God don't put it on us. God helps us get through it if we'll let Him. If our faith is based on situations or circumstances, it's never going to be solid. It'll always be casual. There have been times I've been moved by different Christian songs and messages and movies, and I think we all get like that. I know the guys out there, if you ever watch Rocky, you've just wanted to come home and you're pumped up and you want to turn the garage into a gym, and then that don't last really long. And it's the same thing with Christian enthusiasm when it's based on, I'm a Christian when it's good. That enthusiasm is hard to keep up. A dedicated faith takes the good with the bad. We're seeing a lot of both of those right now. We're never promised an easy life. Jesus has never told us that. There'll be bumps and bruises. We're promised one thing, though. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Many times, we try to leave Him and forsake Him. I've done that in my life, and I was thankful that I let Him back in my life. He will stand with us, and how do I know this? He loves us so much that Jesus Christ came to earth. He was God, came to earth in man form, and He lived, and He died for us. That cross, that death, that bloody ending, that was meant for me and you and everybody out there. When He made that triumphal entry in to Jerusalem, it was for a couple of different things. It was to show that the Messiah that had been promised all through the Old Testament was there. The people that had been looking for Him for centuries missed Him because they were too arrogant, too blinded. And them and God, and it don't work that way. They missed Him. 12 nobodies saw Him. A bunch of shepherds in the field recognized who this was. He took a fate meant for us. He gave us grace when we didn't deserve it. And He gave us mercy when we blame sure did not deserve it. He knew every word He spoke, every miracle He performed, everything He did was one step closer to that cross of dogwood. He knew it, but yet He did. How many countless people did He help while He was here? He knew. When He raised Lazarus from the dead, part of the reason why He wept, He knew that sealed His fate. But yet He did it. His life was made up of steps to the cross. He knew that Sunday that those cheering people would be calling for His death in a few days. But He kept riding on that smallest of animal, that humblest of animal for the greatest king the world has ever known. He knew they'd be mocking Him. As He died a slow and painful death, they were gathered around Him on that cross, mocking Him. If you're King of the Jews, why don't you get off that cross? If you're this or you're that, while He is slowly suffocating. One of His last words. Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even in that pain, even in that misery, even with that betrayal, Father, please forgive them. We're about to go to prayer. I want everyone listening to ask themselves a couple of questions. Is my faith in Jesus committed or convenient? Are you in it for the long haul, or are you in it for just what Jesus can do for you? Am I cheering on Jesus when I want something? Or am I in a dedicated relationship with Jesus praying every day? and trying to live in a way that follows his rules? Do I pick up my palm leaf and pick up a rock to throw at Jesus when there are troubles in my life? Palm Sunday is a perfect time to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're listening to this, you don't have to be alone anymore. You were never meant to carry what you're carrying right now. And I feel it. I'm not some televangelist, but I feel it. I've carried the weight of stuff I was never meant to carry. Maybe you'd accepted Jesus at one point in time, but you slid away. It happens. Saul was the anointed of God. King of Israel, he slid away. Solomon, David, mighty men, they've all slipped away. Peter, the rock of the church, doubted. People slide away. And maybe your pride or your shame has kept you from recommitting to Jesus. Maybe you think you're too big a mess. We're all messes. Every last one of us is a mess. It's tough to be a Christian. A lot of new Christians get attacked when they first convert over. Bad things happen to them. Family that don't understand. It's tough, and it's easy to slide away. Maybe our pride is keeping us from admitting that we messed up. We all have a little bit, pride and vanity. But I'm asking you, I'm begging you. We're never promised tomorrow. Palm Sunday, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is a perfect day to start a new life. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open it, that door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." In Near Eastern society, that's one of the most sincere forms of friendship, to share a meal, that sharing a bond. Jesus is knocking that door, that urging that you hear, that urging that's on your heart, that urging you've been feeling, that's him knocking. Today, right now, the anniversary of this great occasion, there's no better time. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, Father. We lift up every person that's praying, Father, right now, whether this is by recording, whether this is live, no matter where it is. Father, listen to the prayers. Listen to the people. Father, come into our houses, our spiritual houses, every dirty room, every dirty corner, Father, clean them. Show us your light. Father, lead us and guide us in our words, our actions, our thoughts, because we need you. We need you 2,000 years ago when you rode that humble animal into Jerusalem. We need you now. Father, help us to be a light unto the hill. Help us to be a lamp in this dark room of this world. Father, help us to live by your rules. Help us to live, have a relationship with you when it's good, when it's bad, when it's otherwise. And Father, help us to be able to tell other people about you. The words don't have to be fancy. We can show a lot of people about you by the way we live. Your words, your life is summed up. Love God, love people, show it. Those are two of your greatest commandments. Father, help us to leave this service with that tattooed on our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, our benediction today comes from John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and in life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I ask you to remember that last part. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God bless y'all. Love y'all. Praying for y'all to have a great week. Sorry, baby. Your face just kept throwing me off when you were making those faces.
It is okay. We got to do something extreme. You can't see it. It's too bright. We couldn't see, like, the address. And I tried to move the camera.
Well, it was... you sent me that post, and so that's why I used that as the background.
Yeah, but it's too bright on here.
Yeah, we'll keep it darker.
We got to do something, like, dark next
week. Okay, that sounds good.
Just because you couldn't...
Oh, let me... Hang on.